Today marks a dark day in Philadelphia history. 4 decades ago, city police dropped a bomb on a home in West Philadelphia, an action that was seen around the world. WHYY's Tom McDonald tells us about one key player in the event who said the bombing didn't have to happen. Tom traveled back to the neighborhood where he covered the original MOVE bombing in this report.
It was 40 years ago when the unthinkable happened at 6221 Osage Avenue. A bomb was dropped from a helicopter on a row house, starting a fire that devastated 61 homes and killing 11 people. Pete Kane was the only journalist who had a view of the encampment and the police effort to remove the members of MOVE from their home.
You know, when I come here, I just get chills.
As police evacuated the neighborhood on Mother's Day of 1985, Kane slipped into a home across the street from MOVE so he could get the best view.
You know, I hear the gunfire, smell the tear gas. You know, 40 years later, it's still there, man. It's just doesn't go away.
The neighbors of the Back to Nature group were fed up. Members were using loudspeakers 24 hours a day, brandishing firearms and making threats. Some members of the group had outstanding criminal warrants, and the city decided they didn't want the situation to become a repeat of the previous standoff with the group that ended with the death of a Philadelphia police officer.
We were put on standby that Friday that, you know, the city was going to try to talk MOVE members out of 6221 Osage. One family said, yeah, he can come in, get video out the window. Police are all outside. They didn't know I was up on the second floor, and I just started videotaping.
The top floor of the MOVE compound was covered with a bunker made to remove any tactical advantage from police if they tried to gain entry to the property. Multiple attempts were made to remove the bunker on the fatal day by using fire department high-pressure water cannons. Then the decision was made to remove it by dropping an explosive device.
That was their target, not the home so much, but the bunker on top of the house.
Mark Ciccone, a decorated Vietnam combat pilot, was working as the pilot of a traffic spotting helicopter used by radio and TV stations, and he was called in to help support the effort.
We flew a recon mission, a high speed, low and a high speed mission over it, and I told them there's nothing in the bunker at all, just sandbags and a can of gas. I relayed it to the policeman sitting next to me that the bunker posed no threat in my estimation. There was no one there. That wasn't an estimation, that was a fact. We stayed in the air till we were issued the order to go pick up the lieutenant and the bomb. We both landed, the lieutenant and the satchel charge went in the other helicopter, then I took off just to be a high observer.
The bomb was dropped at 5:27 p.m., igniting a gas can on the roof of the home.
I didn't see any, in my estimation, any reason to drop a tactical weapon on the roof to eliminate the bunker, which was their original target, since it consisted of nothing. So that's just my opinion, and I gave it to them.
The time in the home was tense for Pete Kane. He was hidden across the street, communicating with his station via wired telephone. He was the only unbiased report available because other reporters were kept blocks away from the confrontation.
They called it a bunker. I watched them hit that with water most of the day, knocking, you know, a piece of wood off, plastic off, went through tear gas, went through the bullets, you know, whizzing by, you know, and then 5:27, the bomb was dropped.
Out the window, I saw the flames. I was saying to myself, please come out the house, please. I knew they were in there. I never heard anything that from the station that, hey, they, you know, they came out, they're out. So in my mind, I knew people were still in 6221 Osage Avenue.
Kane was at a loss for words as 40 years later, he looked at the site of the MOVE compound.
You see the black smoke coming out of 6221. I'm on the phone with Larry Kane. I'm saying, Larry, you know, the MOVE house is on fire, fully engulfed in flames. And I said, the fire is spreading to homes on either side. Now keep in mind, all day long, I watched the fire department hit that house, that bunker, with water. It was maybe 45 minutes after that fire started that water was put on that fire. And when I left that house 3 hours later, this whole south side of Osage was fully engulfed in flames. I just understand why, if you knew people were in there, even the kids were in there, that it could have been handled differently. I can understand the gunfire and things like that, but if you can hit that bunker all day long with that deluge gun, you know, why not try to hit it more when that fire's burning? That's the thing that frustrates me more than anything else. You know, I understand the firemen, you know, lives being put in danger, but you're a quarter block away hitting it all day long. Why not hit it when that fire gets out of control? You know, that's frustrating to me.
When Kane walked onto Osage Avenue, you could see him tensing up. Even though the homes had been rebuilt and the street didn't resemble the scene in 1985.
Brings back nightmares. It's a day like today. You know, 40 years ago, don't seem like 40 years ago, Tom. It doesn't.
I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.